Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 2000 to 2009.
Good morning, you're listening to RDU 98.5. Ben and Josh with The Morning After.
Yes, we're not alone in the studio. We're here with Tiki Tane this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Very good.
Awesome. And even better now that you're in the studio.
Excellent.
We're moving through the 2000s this week, sponsored by 12 Bar, of course. So firstly, let's set the scene. Where were you in the 2000s?
The 2000s. I was here in Ototahi, Christchurch. Yes. I was in a band called Salmon and a Dub. Things had just started to kick off for us pretty good. We started to get some mainstream support, which kind of changed things. We're starting to do venues that were like pretty big in New Zealand and Australia. We started to push over into Europe in the 2000s. Shapeshifter had just started.
Nice.
So I started mixing their first gigs. Their first gig actually was here at a place called Science Alive, which was like...
Science Alive.
You know that was?
Huge slide.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the first gig.
Wow, that's so cool.
And that was some rave that was happening there.
Cool.
And I was mixing Shapeshifter then. So things were popping off. Drum and bass in Christchurch especially, we were kind of, a massively strong community here.
Yeah.
We started getting into it in, I think you had Tali on the show, but we started getting into it in the mid to late 90s. And the scene was just pumping. And a lot of the UK DJs would come over here and just love Christchurch, love playing at the ministry, and said it was just a massive scene. Because we're just super hearty about it, you know.
Definitely.
I remember when, you know, sometimes there'll be an international coming in, maybe one or two a month, and I remember all the girls in the scene would make their own outfits, especially for that occasion.
For that, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was quite next level. And then, so every drum and bass party would have... all the sisters or the wahine or the girls would turn up in the most coolest outfits that they made themselves, and it looked really futuristic, you know. It was wicked, and it was cool, man. So that was the scene back then.
Cool.
And it was pumping. It was very exciting because a lot of it was new, and this was before social media and all that kind of stuff. And I think before MP3s as well. So a lot of it was still on CDs and vinyl and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
When you started out, you know, mixing stuff and working with Salmonella Dub and helping out Shapeshift and all that, did you have a sense like, oh, you know, this is going to go big, you know, these people are, this is really something special here? Or was it just kind of like, you know, I hope it does, I'm enjoying doing it, I'm just going to go with the flow of it?
Yeah, I mean, the year 2000, I was 23, right?
Yeah.
So I just turned 23. At that time, we had the festival called The Gathering, which was huge. It started in 95, and by the time I got to 2000, it was massive. I think there was like, you know, 15,000 people dancing on a hill in Takaka kind of thing. So the vibe had, the scene had grown to this point where it felt like, whoa, this is bubbling. Yeah. And it felt like something was happening. We didn't know quite what, but we knew that... you know, with Salmonella Dub anyway, we started to push into Europe around 2000. I remember myself and Andrew Peeman, who's the, the founder of Salmonella Dub and the manager, me and him went over to Europe in 2000 and went door knocking and started to hand out our CDs and all that stuff. And then we brought the band over and started touring over there. So for me, it was like there's a cool thing happening. I was 23. I had no commitments to anything.
Yeah.
I just wanted to party, see the world, and have a good time and make music with my friends. So that was kind of my head state at the time. And then Shapeshifter started. And they were just, you know, good friends. They were young at the time. I think they might have been 19, even younger than me. So, yeah, about 19, 18, 19, 20.
Cool.
They were jazz school dropouts. They went to jazz school here, and they formed in jazz school, and then they dropped out of jazz school and started this live drum and bass band.
Yeah.
They had no vocalists, so it was completely instrumental for the first 3 years. And so I saw those guys and I mixed their first gig, and I just thought there's something really cool about them. I just really enjoyed the fact that they were doing something live that no one was doing and really pushing the envelope. And it was instrumental as well. Like, there was no vocalist, so it was quite a trip out. You could really trip out on it.
You know what I mean?
And for me as an engineer, front of house engineer, I could really affect the music and put lots of reverbs and dubs and delays and really kind of make something really sonic. So for me, Shapeshifter was exciting as well because they were kick-ass musicians anyway. And because they were doing something live that no one else is doing, it definitely felt fresh. And so we'd actually, Salman and Dub would actually get them to support us on so many other shows. So, you know, New Zealand, Australia. So it'll end up being Shapeshifter playing first, Odd Mix Shapeshifter, and then we'd set up for Sal Dub, and then I'd jump on stage for Sal Dub and play Sal Dub. So it was quite a cool combo that we had going on for many years.
Great position. So cool. We'll get to your first track, which is Bromley East Roller, of course. And how come out of all of the Salmonella Dub tracks you picked this one for us to play this morning?
Well, because you guys are talking about the 2000s, so I had to choose something in the 2000s, right? So I think this one came out in 2001 off an album called Inside the Dub Plates. And this one, I like this one because it's like a crazy punk rock drum and bass gritty kind of thing. I hadn't heard anything else like it, really. It was just kind of an oddball song, but it kind of sums up Salmonella Dub when we are in that moment of just being a beast and everything's just kind of out of control and moving. We kind of captured that with this song, and Dave, our drummer, Uncle Dave I call him, he's just bashing the drums like a crazy man, like bash 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 bash, and then I kind of come up that this hook vocal, you know, rockers come down, this is our sound, smoke lums bread, rude boy nutty dread. So it's kind of like smoking ganja and all that stuff and listening to the sound that we make and smoking ganja, and then it kind of the rhyme went into this thing about Bromley and how I kind of grew up in Heathcote Valley, Bromley, Woolston, and kicking it in Bromley, and how it's pretty ghetto. It's filled with car wreckers and just there's a massive graveyard out there. There's a few gang pads out there and stuff. So I chose this one because it just really reminded me of Bromley and the grittiness of it. And I like this too, man. It's a banger live. We love playing it live.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's give it a listen and then we'll be back to talk some more.
Woo!
to the very end. Rockers, come down.
That was Bromley East Roller, the Salmonella Roller Dub, brought to you from Tiki Tane's mind to your ears. What a wonderful song. Thank you so much.
What a wonderful song.
It is. I know. I mean, it's not, like, that's probably not the words to describe what you just listened to, but
it's all good, brother. You know, I feel you.
So I wanted to ask about Christchurch at the time in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Lots of people are coming up. I mean, bands that, you know, were still around from the 90s are still there, and there's new acts coming and lots of music is happening. Mm. What was the community like for musicians at the time? Was everyone friendly with each other, you know, wanting the best or
Yeah, kind of absolutely. Stuff? You know, we're all in that kind of movement, especially in the bass culture.
Mm-hmm.
The drum and bass, reggae, dancehall, dub, hip hop. We kind of all stuck together, and back in those days you had a very different scene, you know, you had your trance scene and even the culture and the clothing and everything was different.
Yeah.
And then you had the sort of the drum and bass scene that was different as well. So we had these pockets that were completely different, and you could kind of almost look at somebody and tell exactly what music they were into by what they were wearing. It was kind of like that.
That's so cool.
Not so much these days, because it's, you know, it's just a mashup now, but so all us kind of bass-heavy crew, we kind of stuck together. You had the drum, bass, jungle, dub, dubstep, you know, hip-hop. And so that kind of scene, we definitely collaborated together a lot. And as the technology progressed too, because we could start making music on laptops and things became a lot easier to make music. So you see a lot of people starting up little home studios and starting to jam a lot more and it was a really healthy community, you know. And I've got to give shout-outs to Andrew Pemmon from Salmonella Dub. He was visionary in bringing a lot of us together. I mean, he picked me up when I was like 19 years old because he heard that I was doing sound for these bands in town, and he heard that I was pretty good. So he gave me a call and said, hey, come do our sound.
Awesome.
And then that exposed me to all this dub music that I hadn't really heard of. And then he also did that with other bands, you know, things like you know, for Shapeshifter, he started managing Shapeshifter at some point, and then also, you know, Trinity Roots and Fat Freddy's, Black Seeds, we all started connecting through Andrew Pemmon, and he started to do a lot of stuff for a lot of bands. So he was very important in bringing that community together.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was just love back then. It was awesome. It still is now, you know. We're all best friends now, you know, 20-odd years later. So nothing's changed. We're just getting older, I guess, and wrinklier and grayer and, you know, tighter.
But the music still as good as it ever was. So,
it's true. Yeah, it's true. Yesterday we were talking with Amanda and Darlene, who run the Friday show after us, and we talked about cornerstones, people who are just cornerstones of the music industry in Otatahi, and that's something that I've loved seeing carry throughout all of these segments we've done so far, even through the 2000s, is that there are these people who maybe aren't getting the light on them as they should, who really are pivotal to our scene. So yes, thanks for shining light on Andrew, and I'm sure so many others too, as we go
cool.
On.
No worries, brother.
It's great stuff. We'll head to your next track now, Move With Me, featuring Lady Six, Shapeshifter, of course. So how come you picked this one?
I picked this one because I'm pretty sure this is the first Shapeshifter song to be recorded with a vocalist. And not only is the vocalist Lady Six, who smashed this recording. Like, I mean, this came out, what, 2001 on their album Real Time? So we're talking 20 years ago. And if you check out this vocal on this track, it's like, so she just nails it, and you can just hear how amazing she is even back then, you know. So I chose it because of that, and also it's a beautiful song, and it shows Shapeshifters also, because back then it was all, a lot of it was going hard and heavy. It was about being big, fat, huge, and who could be the loudest, who could do the biggest Reese bass line, all that stuff.
So we heard about some stories of beer bottles shaking off of tables earlier in the week.
That was the thing. So this song also showcases kind of Shapeshifters' ability to do really beautiful songs.
Yeah.
And Lady Six, you know, I met Lady Six when she was in Sheila Rock. She's, I don't know, she might have been, I can't remember, maybe 14, 15, same time as I met Scribble, Scribe around that time.
Cool.
And then she progressed into a band called Verse 2, which I did sound for as well. So there's the connection there, and Shapeshifter and Lady Six are super tight. They've kind of grown up in that scene together. So I chose this song mainly to big up Lady Six, but also to big up my boy Shapeshifter for doing something really beautiful. So 2001, Move With Me off the album Real Time. I just did your job for you. Sorry, bro.
No, you're all good. Let's do it. Let's play.
Dance with me in the summer fields.
Like you said, what a beautiful song. That was really cool.
Beautiful.
Lady Six.
Big up, Lady.
Oh, such an amazing
big
voice.
Big up, Shapeshifter.
Yeah, so cool. So you mentioned a little bit before about how, you know, technology was starting to come in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Was that something that you guys took to really readily? And, you know, what was it like going from, you know, having to use CDs and all that kind of stuff to being like, oh, I can make a song all just on my laptop?
It was incredible. The power was just like, oh my gosh. But you're limited by how the power of the laptop.
Yeah.
So I got my first laptop in 1999.
Wow.
And loaded up Logic and started, you know, creating beats and remixing and doing that stuff, but you could only get a few plugins on this thing because it was like the computer would just crash.
Yeah.
So it would kind of you couldn't do the 100 tracks you do now and 30 plugins and all that kind of stuff. You could only probably do about 20 tracks and maybe about 10 plugins, and then your computer will crash. So you were very limited.
Yeah.
But it meant that you kind of went, okay, cool, you got to do like one kick, two kicks at the top, snare, doom, boom, you know, you're kind of limited. So they kind of, you know, you can hear the music, especially with Salman Aladab back in the day through the 90s, you could kind of hear the, you know, you're limited by the technology you had, which in some ways is really awesome because nowadays you've got all this ability to do so much stuff, but sometimes you can overcook it and just put too much crap in a song and then you lose the essence of a song, you know. So, we're just talking off air, actually, about your boss, Pylons. He just walked in. I'll tell you some stories about Pylons. You got a real quick minute?
Hey, let's go.
Yeah,
let's do it.
So I've known Pylons for a long time. The first time I met Pylons, I was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing a sound course together.
Cool.
And he was, I was a rocker. I was a punk, metal, thrash rocker, long hair, leather pants,
hell
dock boots.
Yeah.
And he was just this freaky dude who was getting into the rave scene.
Yeah.
And and he came, and he was the first time I ever saw any kind of production on a computer was through Pylon. He had this crappy old computer at this place, and he had beats and things up on the screen. And I just buzzed out and went, oh my gosh, what are you doing? He was cutting things up, moving them around.
Yeah.
Really basic stuff, but it was the first time I ever saw anything like it. And then he also got me into the rave scene as well. He was DJing at a few raves, but he was doing jungle, and no one was doing jungle. And he would clear dance floors. Like, people would walk away.
Wow.
Because they were like, what the fuck is this horrible
like,
music?
I didn't come here for jungle.
Yeah, no,
I'm
shit.
Out.
People would actually go like, what is this music? This sounds terrible. And that was Pylons. And he was playing jungle. And he was just, he was vigilant on playing the style of music.
Yeah.
That everyone hated at the time. Seriously. Because it was all about. And he comes in with this kind of stuff. These changy amens and breaks. And people would just wouldn't know how to dance to it, so they'd walk off the dance floor.
Damn,
so Pylons would clear the dance floor. Like, that was it. Hey, Pylons.
he's coming in to tell you off.
But that was it. But, you know, but he was pioneering this sound to where we are now, where drum and bass is so bloody mainstream.
Oh,
yeah.
It's it is the
insane.
Sound of our city, I'd say.
Yeah, it's so mainstream. It's got vocals all over it, all that kind of stuff. Because back then, there were no vocals over drum and bass songs. We could spend 6 hours at a rave dancing the drum and bass with not one vocal appearing. Maybe it'll be a cut-up vocal of, like, you know, like a scary cut-up vocal.
Yeah.
Use your cloaking device or something like that.
Yeah.
But now you're hearing DJs play drum and bass and every single song has a vocal in it.
Like,
yeah.
It's just it's progressed to that point now where it's very mainstream and poppy. So yeah, that was the first time I saw anything digital technology was through Pylons. It was a computer. I was 16, so I don't know, 1994 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed the game.
Yeah.
And in the 2000s, you could, you know, you get a laptop and you could write all this music and then you could bounce it out onto a CD and you could go and play it out on your CD, you know.
Hell yeah.
So it was cool.
Yeah, man. Such a cool time.
We'll get to your third track now, which is Don't Tell Me from Uprising 2003.
Yeah.
How come you picked this one for us?
I picked this one because this is Concord Dawn. Even though they're from Auckland, they'll come down to Christchurch quite a bit. And I emceed for the first time they ever played in Christchurch was at the ministry. And I remember picking them up in my mum's van. I got my mum's van, went to the airport, picked them up.
Oh.
And it was really funny. It was a rumour spreading around about Concord Dawn down here in Christchurch that they were a Christian drum and bass act.
Oh my God.
No shit, man. So, and I knew them anyway because I go to Auckland and MC some stuff and that. And so when I picked them up,
Wait, so they're not a Christian?
No, like,
oh, I don't know if I can play.
As soon as I picked them up in my mum's van, it was pretty much in the first minute that I knew they weren't Christian. Just
yeah.
That.
Yeah, doesn't take long.
Yeah, it's with Maddie C's potty mouth and even.
Yeah.
But they were making huge waves with Morning Light that popped off over in the international drum and bass scene. It went huge and they became like, whoa, okay, they put Aotearoa on the map for drum and bass. And then I did this vocal for them here in Christchurch, Don't Tell Me. It's like it reminded me of Rage Against Machines tune, you know.
Cool.
What's that fucking tune? You know,
which
don't
one?
Tell me, fuck it, you know what I mean? That one.
Don't stop, do what you tell me.
It reminds
you
of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I put that in the tune because at the time, drum and bass was going through that real kind of like heavy, angsty thing, and I wanted to do a punky, rocky, heavy metal vocal over a drum and bass riff. And so this is it. Don't Tell Me, 2003, is it? Off Uprising. Big up Concord Dawn. Here we go. I said you're jogging.
Say what I will say. Don't tell me how to hear or what the fuck to wear. I got my own idea and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do and who the fuck are you. Don't tell me what to play. I'll say what I will say. Don't tell me how to hear or what the fuck to wear. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do, and who the fuck are you? Don't tell me what to play, I'll say what I will say. Don't tell me how to hear, or what the fuck to wear. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do, don't tell me what to play. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do, don't tell me what to play. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care.
Don't tell me how to care or what the fuck. tell me what to do, and who the fuck are you? Don't tell me what to play, I'll say what I will say. Don't tell me how to hear, or what the fuck to wear. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do, don't tell me what to play. I got my own idea, and I don't give a care. Don't tell me what to do, don't tell me what to play. I got my own idea, dear, dear, dear.
Up in the morning, right there. Right.
Good morning,
Concord Dawn. Don't tell me, with Tiki Tano's vocals there as well. So good.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Of course, we're here with Tiki Tano this morning. Yeah. Talking 2000s, as we now that's what I call RDU ourselves, through the ages.
Yes.
And final thing we should talk about today is Ōtautahi Proud, which is tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. at the Douglas Lilburn Auditorium. Tickets starting from $28. It's a creative hotbed for New Zealand songwriters and singers, producing some of the country's most memorable contemporary songs. Wow. Tiki, of course, you're going to be there.
Yes.
What can we expect from Ōtautahi Proud?
Ōtautahi Proud is where I collaborate with the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra. We are in the Christchurch Town Hall tomorrow. There's only, I don't know, I think there's less than 200 tickets left. It's going to sell out. I'm super stoked. We've got a massive screen of visuals. We've got the CSO Orchestra, 50 people strong. I'm going to do my stuff. I'm going to cross over from drum and bass with Tali, getting her to jump up. Also doing hip-hop with my homie Big Simma, who's also Christchurch bass. Got my kids who are going to jump up and do a song.
Awesome.
Charlie on bass, Cassie is singing. I'm going to do things that I'm even going to throw in a Salmonella dub song that we're going to rework with an orchestra. And I've taken out the seats on the dance hall area because I want people to dance, because it's not going to be a sit down, oh, let's check out the orchestra.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm bringing the noise, bringing the bass, bringing the fatness, bringing the beat. So I want people to dance and have a good time. I'm also recording it and filming it, so there's going to be cameras everywhere so that I can release it later on YouTube, etc.
Awesome.
And what you can expect is 2 40-minute sets of music that is navigated by Tom Rainey, the conductor, and then the orchestra is going to punch us into the portal through different dimensions of soundscape, business, and love, and it's going to hit you right in the deep of the soul, and it's going to make you move, and it's going to make you feel good to be human.
Wow. I don't think, I mean, that's the best, that is the best, promo to an event I've heard in such a long time.
I mean, attend. Yeah. What else can we say? It's obviously going to be a fantastic celebration of Ōtautahi music, and that's probably the final thing we should talk about here today.
Yep, absolutely.
What can you say, or what would you say to Christchurch in an open letter to Ōtautahi, being like, gosh, the music industry in general, what would you have to say?
I'd say, dear Ōtautahi, thank you so much for everything that you've given me, the opportunities, the friends, the love, the memories, the experiences. I owe my career to you. I owe everything to the people that I knew back in the day in Christchurch. Thank you for everything that you've given me, and I hope you're proud of me, and I'm going to continue to do my best to support you too. Much love, your friend, Tiki Tane. And sorry about that time I shoplifted some lollies out of the local dairy. I apologise for that. But I've made it up now, I think, with the contribution to Aotearoa music.
I would say you've more than made up for it, yeah. Well, we'll play you out with the last track you've picked. This is Been Missing, Shapeshifter. You want to tell us
real
why you
quickly,
picked this one?
I know you're running out of time.
No,
Been
you're
Missing.
All good.
Yes, okay, so I chose this one because this is the first time P. Diggs featured on a Shapeshifter song. This was released in 2004. P. Diggs, well, Shapeshifter was an instrumental band for many years, and then P. Diggs jumped on the scene via our good friend Downtown Brown. So Downtown Brown would often warm up DJing before Shapeshifter, and P. Diggs was often on the mic, and then he's kind of just carried on into Shapeshifter, and then it turned out to be like, wow, okay, this is awesome. So he just elevated a different level of Shapeshifter. He became, you know, that charismatic front man, his vocals, his uplifting vocals, his harmony. He wasn't just rapping hard out, he would also put soulful vocals in. And so this is a very, very first time P. Diggs. I think we recorded it at my place actually in Christchurch, but this has Been Missing. It's a slow half tempo thing, and featuring my homie P. Diggs and Shapeshifter. Much love. Let's go.
Ever since I saw your smile, anticipating for my team's ages, spilling out of all these pages, you bring the light back to my life. Without a doubt, you want my mind. I've been thinking, as of lately, I'm believing you'll find you and I team white. As of lately, I've been thinking, I'm believing find you and I see why. As of lately, I've been thinking about our current situation, and I cannot believe my eyes when I wake up on my mind. As of lately, I've been thinking about our current situation, and I cannot believe stars when I woke up by my side. As of lately, been reminiscing, anticipating for 14 stages. I got patience and after waiting. As of lately. Thinking about you, baby. I've been reminiscing. Thinking about you, baby. Still anticipating. I've been thinking. I've been reminiscing.
You've been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.